Live, on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. We are live on location at the Marcus Theaters in Waukesha, Wisconsin for just a bit outside the world premiere of the Brewers documentary from 1982, the World Series team. We are excited to be here live on location. We got the Violent Femmes playing. Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor and host of This Week in Music History at our station across the pond there in the Madison area at WVMO, the great community station there. Mr. Perry, thanks for being here. It's great to have you along.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to see this movie.
I am absolutely psyched. And a big show today. In addition to Jeff being here for the day, we've heard that Jane Matinere, our great colleague from Matinere on Air, may stop by. She's just across the city here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a little bit later. And coming up here very shortly, we have Sean Hannish, the director and producer of this great film, and Kelly Call, one of the fine producers as well, coming up. And we're here now, and we may have a couple of players from that 82 team joining us via the phone line. But right now, I'd like to introduce our friend and colleague from up north, literally and figuratively, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8, Mr. Pat Kreitlow.
I'm sorry. I don't have a plan for what to talk about. I have the concepts of a plan that I could talk about today, but it'll be a big, beautiful plan on what to talk about. I'll have it to you in a couple of weeks here, anytime.
Mr. Kreitlow, of course, talking about the debate last night. We're going to talk baseball in a minute, Pat. I have to get a number here so I can get our players to call in, but give us your take, if you would. Let's talk a little politics right off the bat. Give us your take from the Harris-Trump debate last night, if you would.
Well, I think the thing to put in perspective here is that Hillary Clinton mopped up the floor with Donald Trump each and every time. It didn't mean anything when it came time for voting, when people got too confident and stayed home. I don't think that's going to be a problem this time around, but people wanted to feel reassured that the Democratic nominee knew her stuff. She did. People were looking to see once again if there was going to be this pivot by Donald Trump to being more presidential, to actually studying the issues. And yet again, Donald Trump was Donald Trump. And if anything, I feel like there were a few Trump-leaning voters out there that, frankly, were just looking for one more good reason to say, you know, I think he's past his expiration date. And last night's crazy, incoherent, racist ramblings, I think, sealed the deal for more than a couple of folks.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I mean, you were elected official, Pat, in the state senate. I was in politics as a flack, as a staffer, as a campaign person for a number of years. I never thought I would see the day, and I guess nothing should surprise me anymore, but a former president of the United States calling a current vice president, not calling her, but saying to a current vice president of the United States that she got where she was at because she, quote, put out. Yeah. I thought that was one of the most offensive things that he said all night. And to the vice president's credit, they made this point this morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC that the president, whomever that is, it is a high pressure job, and you have to have composure, and you have to know when you're getting things thrown at you all the time, how to take a breath and be a leader. One person on that stage did that last night, in my opinion, Vice President Harris. The other guy, Trump, when it came to the size of his crowds, he was off to the races.
I think from that point onward, something snapped. But you have to keep in mind, Trump was not auditioning for the job of president. Trump has said what he wanted to be all along. He cited by name Viktor Orban again yesterday in the debate. He spoke quite complimentary of Vladimir Putin. He was trying out for being an authoritarian strongman. He still thinks that he can tap into enough Americans out there that actually want that. And so he appealed to that segment and is still hoping to muddy the waters enough to cause controversy or chaos that enough people stay home or have doubts that he wins again like he did in 2016. So in that sense, he followed his plan. It's just that it's, as Kamala Harris said, it's a tired plan from an old playbook that we've already seen enough of.
Our friend and colleague Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, will join us tomorrow. We said we're going to do a lot of movie stuff today, so he said, well, I'll just wait till Thursday, which is cool. So I'm glad you're here today. But Trigvi was on our pregame show yesterday and our civic media coverage last night. And he said the pregame show, as someone who helped prep presidential candidates in primaries, John McCain among them, and said, you know, I really think this whole thing about Trump saying he's not preparing, I don't buy it. I think he actually is. And about 20 minutes into the debate, Trigvi texted me and said, you know what? I think I was wrong. I don't think he prepared at all.
No, he did not prepare at all because, again, look at all the ways that he has avoided accountability for his mistakes, for his missteps. He hasn't been sentenced on the one case. His trials have been put off in the other. He managed to take a disastrous campaign and somehow turn it into a victory in 2016. He has just never truly been held to account. And so, I mean, that is the arrogance and the hubris that he brings into the debate and into these final 55 days of the campaign, that he has always found a way, and that he still believes he's going to find a way again. And you don't do that by preparing. You do it by just doing whatever the hell it was that he did last night.
Pat, again, you elected official from Western Wisconsin, Northwestern Wisconsin, Chippewa Valley, that area. You live up there. You know it very well. Trigvi also made the point in the pregame show and subsequently talking to him after. He really thinks that winning Wisconsin for the presidential candidates, and perhaps that means the presidency, is going to come down to Western Wisconsin, in particular what people know as the 3rd Congressional District. For those who don't know, on the southern side, it is the border of the Mississippi River and Illinois, the farthest southwest you could possibly go, all up along the Mississippi River, La Crosse, Eau Claire, then over to Hudson, up that whole area, and then it has that little tail over to Stevens Point. Mm-hmm. So that's the area, geographic area we're talking about. Does, for those, I know that not everybody watches or listens to it like we do, but for those people who did in Western Wisconsin, do you think... What's your takeaway? Did anything matter? That's people say, Todd, does this matter anymore? Did anything matter last night to people in Western Wisconsin?
Yeah, and I think it brings me back to my earlier comment about the people who were frankly not. I mentioned a couple of minutes ago people looking for a reason to say that's the last straw. I don't need Trump anymore. There were also people saying, give me one reason to stick with you, Donald Trump. You know, show some flashes of brilliance, show some new ideas, show that you have a soul by apologizing when you questioned whether Kamala Harris is black or not. There was nothing there this time around that Trump could offer where all the commentators after the debate and all the focus groups could point to and go, yeah, that's the part of the guy I really liked. I'd like to see that guy back in. We didn't see that part from him at all. And I think that you have voters throughout the 3rd Congressional District, the state of Wisconsin, the United States, who said, you know, the guy looks tired. He sounds tired. The things he's saying now, I mean, he wasn't talking in 2016 about, you know, making up racist lies about eating dogs and cats. He was talking about being different, standing up to Wall Street and bringing a businessman's view of things. And none of that is there anymore to appeal to a whole lot of Wisconsin voters.
I think you nailed it, Pat. We're going to move on to baseball in a second, but one more point on this, what your take on it. I think you nailed it right there. I think I saw a couple of focus groups after on different stations. People who might have forgotten the chaos that were the Trump years, because, you know, last 3.5 years, we've had an adult leading us, somebody who's quiet, who just gets things done. And I think last night, especially the complete lie that has been proven to be a lie, that right-wing people, MAGA people have started, that in Ohio, Haitian immigrants are stealing people's pets off the street and eating them. Again, that is a lie. And for the president, former president, to repeat that as so-called fact last night, I think for a lot of people it clicked, and it's like, holy crap, this is the guy who told us to drink bleach and shove light up our rear ends to solve COVID.
Right. And remember, in his case, he when he was corrected on these things, he said, well, the city manager must be wrong. And when he was cited that crime is actually down in the Biden-Harris administration, he said, oh, the FBI must be wrong. It's always somebody else's fault. It's never that he got something wrong, because in his mind, he doesn't make mistakes. But when you if you won't accept anything other than your opinion, if you won't accept FBI crime stats, if you won't accept the city manager's view of things, if you're going to live in that kind of reality, then the only people you're going to appeal to are those who fall for basically a cult of personality.
Yeah, absolutely. If you like to, Trigby Olson says he just texted. Goes, we're doing Thursday, right? I'm just saying, I'm saying, correct in real time. Here we go. Yeah. Can you stay to the end of the hour or to the bottom of the hour, Pat?
Yeah, happy to.
So we got about a minute and a half here. Give us your remembrances. I know that you tend to look at baseball in the Twin City perspective.
I love baseball.
But what's your memories of that 82 year when the Brewers just kind of made a magical season?
Well, that was my freshman year at UW-Eau Claire. I was living in Towers, 379 Towers. I still remember it well. And it was all kind of new and weird for me because, again, coming in there from the Twin Cities, my dad lived in Eau Claire all those years. But, I lived with my mom in the Twin Cities, so I was much more of a Twins fan back then. But you just saw the excitement, which I'd never experienced before, because the Minnesota Twins had last gone to the World Series in 1965 when I was a year old. And so it was like my first introduction to the happiness of Wisconsin sports. And then when I met and married a good Wisconsin farm girl from Manitowoc County, and she turned this Minnesotan into a lifelong, for the rest of my life, Packers and Brewers fan, it's because of that sense of happiness and camaraderie. Minnesota fans, I love them, but they are bandwagoners. And they know this. They hear it all the time to the nth degree. And that it doesn't mean ride or die. We still criticize the Brewers and the Packers and everything else. But there's just much like this presidential campaign, there's a bit of joy that we like to share when we follow teams like the Brewers.
I feel like I'm in the middle of this, by the way, because Trigby is listening to the program or watching. I said, just pop on for 10 minutes. I didn't know we were going to have time to discuss politics to get today. This is all very fluid. And he's for those that don't know, Pat and Trigby go at each other. He says, quote, tell Pat he was living in the Towers in 72, not 82.
Oh, stop it.
That is speaking of lies from the campaign, that's a lie right there.
Yes,
fact check. Come on back. We got Mr. Pat Feitlow. We got Jeff Perry here. We are live from the beautiful theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin, the Marcus Theater, for just a bit outside. We are live here at the beautiful Marcus Majestic Theater in Waukesha, Wisconsin, for the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside. It is Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. We have with us here by my side, Mr. Jeff Perry, lifelong friends. You have a birthday coming up. We're both born in October.
Yeah, just a couple weeks apart.
Yeah, exactly. And we went to high school together. Don't hold that against him, but so I've known him a long time. We worked the radio together at WRCO, where Jeff's dad was the station manager for a long time. Now WRCO is a part of Civic Media. And Jeff has a full-time gig. He's actually gone on and found ways to make money and be successful. I'm back in radio. But he still has a side gig, and he's the host of This Week in Music History on WVMO across town in Madison on Monona. What a Wisconsin Broadcasting Award. Congrats for that, Jeff. It's a great show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you plugging it.
Yeah, absolutely.
On another network.
On another network, as they say. And on this network, and joining us from Lake Wissota, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. Guys, I would be remiss in all of our excitement here today, and it is an exciting day. We're going to have the producer and director, respectively, of this fine film, Kelly Call and Sean Hanisch, and a couple of Brewers players like Jay Matinier may stop by as well. But I wanted to pause and reflect just for a moment that today is 9/11, and it is the anniversary, of course, of that great tragedy in New York, in the fields of Pennsylvania, and at the Pentagon. I was going back to college at the time, and I remember it as one of those moments, as we all do, where you will never forget it. And of course, the people most affected by that day are the survivors of people who were lost in that absolute tragedy. So we think of all of those today. And I saw this morning before at the hotel, before I came over in New York City, it was stark. You had Mayor Bloomberg, and on one side of him was Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, and on the other side was President Biden and Vice President Harris. And apparently Harrison and Trump shook hands today at that event after going after each other last night. So it's a good remembrance in all the craziness of the world. Then we take a moment to just pause and reflect. Pat Kreitlow.
Without a doubt about that. And I guess to not only reflect and remember on that terrible day, but to once again remember that for a time we were as united as we had ever been in our nation's history. Mm-hmm. And then some people took advantage of that. And now we're in perhaps as divided a time as we've been, you know, since the Civil War, since the birth of the nation, when we were trying to decide, did we want democracy or did we want a monarchy? And it shouldn't take terrible tragedies like this to bring us together. Sometimes great leaders do that. Remember that scene in Grant Park the night that Barack Obama was elected in November of 2008? Yes. We need more of that and not coming together over tragedy. As far as the day's memories go, I was a 10 o'clock anchor here in Eau Claire at the time, so I was actually sleeping in, and the phone rang, and it was a good friend of mine from the TV station, and all he said was, turn on your TV, and he hung up. Wow. And I was just I was just staring at the TV for about 2 hours. It was 8 until 10 a.m. I wouldn't normally go into work until 2 p.m., but about that time, right after the second tower collapsed, the phone rings, and it's my news director, the late John Hofflin, and he says, yeah, you better get in here. And, of course, I did, got dressed very quickly. We were on the air for about 12 hours there till a little after midnight, and then I just remember when our part was done, it was just like one big group cry, you know, in the newsroom at all that had taken place. And I pray we never have a day like that again.
Jeff Perry.
I was fortunate enough a couple summers ago to tour the National Monument in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Dedicated to the plane that went down there, and to see the exhibits and the videos that they play there, to relive that experience in that way was very moving. And if anyone out there has the opportunity to visit that site, I couldn't recommend it more highly. It was really one of those things that you'll always remember.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Again, we think of all those who lost loved ones and who continue to live with that tragedy today. We turn a page because, again, Pat Kreitlow, speaking of things that unify us, I think baseball is. I've been fortunate to be to a couple of games this year. And by the way, our grand prize winner in our big Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win contest, Troy from Mount Horeb, a regular listener of this show, was our grand prize winner. So I believe he's bringing his lovely wife, and they're on their way down. So they're going to be here a little bit later on. So we're looking forward to that. Appreciate them playing along. And but you know, again, baseball, go back to 82. Jeff and I were in middle school, this helmet in front of me on the table, actually, this is the only piece of Brewer memorabilia that I have left, original from 82. But aww. Jeff has a whole satchel, Pat. But look, he has actual player buttons. Here's Storm and Gorman Thomas, Cecil Cooper.
Nice.
This is the World Series program, right?
Right, right here is, yep.
Oh, and show wow. him, open it up. Show him. He was keeping score.
I was at the ALCS Game 5 when the Brewers beat the Angels to go to the World Series, and I actually kept score. I still have my scorecard.
I have so many scorecards in my basement from Metropolitan Stadium, tracking Harmon Killebrew and Rod Carew, and I say this just more or less more to sound like a 60-year-old man. I want to know how many people. Certainly not kids. I don't know if there are any kids, but are there people that learn and maybe they're in their 20s who keep score, who can keep a baseball scorecard? Or
I don't
is
know.
That,
you have kids?
No, my kids would not be able to do that. I don't think.
Not very many.
I know. It's one of those lost arts, lost languages, because instead of having to write down, 6-4-3 for a double play, we just look at our screen and it says Adamas throws it over to Terang, and it's right there. We don't need the symbols anymore. And I feel like we've lost something there. It was more innocent time.
Yes, it certainly was. And it's going to be great to this world premiere here at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha to relive it tonight. It's sold out. There's another showing tomorrow night that's also apparently sold out. And then it debuts in Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin on Friday the 13th. You can get your tickets by going to marcustheater.com and find a theater near you. And there may be further releases across the state as well. So super excited to be here. Super excited to talk to the filmmakers here coming up just after the bottom of the hour. Pat, anything else on your mind? What's going on in the program for the rest of the week up there at Up North News Radio from 6 until 8?
Well, I sense that we will still be doing reaction for the rest of this week to various things that were said during the debate. I just got done recording a video that will be up on Up North News later, picking up on that Trump line about how he still doesn't have a health care plan. He has the concepts of a plan. And all I do in the video is say, well, does that concept include, pre-existing conditions? Because that's what the Affordable Care Act has for 2.4 million Wisconsinites. Right. Is it popular enough that 260,000 people would sign up for marketplace plans? Because that's what happened in Wisconsin during the last open enrollment period. Right. Do we make sure that 80% of insurance premiums go directly toward medical care, or you get a rebate? The point, of course, being, as you know very well from being on the Republican conservative side of things, the Affordable Care Act is not some kind of a liberal fantasy. It started with, I believe it was the Heritage Foundation, and it was just modified slightly, but it uses private insurance companies. Right. For the umpteenth time, Republicans declare victory about the Affordable Care Act and move on.
Yeah,
so we'll talk about that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pat Kreitler. You can listen to him every morning from 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day, Pat. Thanks. Stay tuned. Our filmmakers, Kelly Call and Sean Hannish, are going to be right here. We have Jane Matinier in the wings. We have Jeff Perry. It is live, the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside for the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. Stay tuned. The Town Hall Show, live on location at beautiful Marcus Theater in beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin. We are here for the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. We are here in the beautiful lobby. Things are getting set up. The blue carpet is being rolled out. We have our guest host for today live, my friend and colleague of a long time. He is the host on this, as they say, on another network, WVMO, the community station in Monona, the host of This Week in Music History, and a brewer aficionado, a brewer buff. So, Jeff, thanks for taking the day off for your regular job of being here today.
I really appreciate it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing this movie.
Well, I cannot wait. There was a sneak preview that was released to a few folks, but I had to work first, as it turned out, and so I didn't get to see it. So I'm going to see it during the world premiere tonight. And of course, we have our grand prize winners, Troy from Mount Horeb, and his lovely wife, who are listening on the way down right now. They're going to be here tonight, so it's going to be a good time had by all.
It was a statewide contest.
A statewide contest, by the way. We're going to turn right now to the guests who are joining us here at the table. They are the wonderful director and producers of this film. It is Sean Hannish, who is the director and producer of Just a Bit Outside, and Kelly Call, one of the great producers. Gentlemen, great to have you back on the show. This is your night. This is it.
Thanks for having us, Todd. We're so crazy excited for you to see this, but also for the players to see it, because I think only Gorman has seen the movie. The rest of them, it's their first time.
That's absolutely incredible.
And I think they're all a little bit nervous. They're all wondering, did I come off okay? And of course they did. And the idea was never to make them look bad or anything. So, but until you see it, you don't know. So they have butterflies.
I mean, yeah, I suppose. I mean, you think about it, and I mean, for me, I mean, you always get a little bit of a butterfly every time before you do a radio show, but that's just normal. to go out and hit something, try to hit a baseball would scare the crap out of me. And I suppose for these guys, it's just the opposite. Baseball is not that big of a deal, but being in a movie, then they're more nervous.
Yeah. I think so. I'm happy, though, even though you missed the screening, I'm happy you're going to get to see it on the big screen.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot more impactful, and we've gotten to see it on the big screen, and it just, after seeing it on a monitor of 50 times, to see it on a screen blew our minds.
And we're at the Ultra Screen,
ooh,
which is
really
300 seats.
Oh, my God.
A screen that's as big as any in Los Angeles. So we're so excited to feel everybody's emotions in that audience, to hear people laugh.
Yeah.
There are going to be a couple tears. Yeah. It's going to happen.
I got my hankies ready. Guys, for those that might not have joined us, you were on the show a couple of months ago when it first kind of was announced and everything. We appreciate you joining us via StreamYard. We're here in person. For those that might not have heard that show, at the heart of this, you're just both Wisconsin dudes. Tell us a little bit about yourself. First of all, Sean, you're a Brookfield guy.
Yeah, I grew up not too far from here, maybe 2 miles. Mm-hmm. And my first job was at a Marcus Theater at Westtown, which is about a stone's throw away from here. So I was in a brown tux, ripping tickets, popping popcorn.
Yeah.
And now tonight to be back here at Marcus Theaters premiering the film with all of my childhood idols. I mean, it's really personal, I was 14 sitting in the stands, and to be able to bring a movie about these guys that I think has, as close as you can get to what it was like sitting in the stands in the bleachers at County Stadium, rooting these guys that we all loved on. I mean, it's just going to be incredible.
For listeners, viewers that might have heard of a movie such as Return to Zero, which had an Emmy nomination, other one, Sister Cities. You've had a lot of great projects, Sean, in film. What's it like to take that talent, that life experience, and to do something that's so personal to you?
Well, this has been an amazing journey for me, mm-hmm. because the other films all are centered around social issues, and they have that kind of gravitas, I would say. Mm-hmm. So going into making a baseball documentary, you think, oh, well, this is just going to be a light, fun ride, right? Then we started doing these interviews, and interview after interview, these guys opened up, and they told us things that I don't know they've told a number of them haven't told anybody before.
Mm-hmm. Their spouses, I think, in some cases.
Yeah, really?
It was, Robin's wonderful wife, Michelle, mm-hmm. she, after we interviewed him, we sat down, we're going to get an hour with them, right? Hour and a half.
Yeah.
We had 3 hours and 15 minutes with Robin.
Wow.
And he, afterwards, Michelle comes up to me and she was like, he hasn't shared some of that stuff with me, and I'm married to him.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. Kelly Call, I grew up in Burlington, Wisconsin, and you make your way out to Los Angeles, ended up being president of CBS Entertainment. All I need to know about Kelly is, if you like Survivor, he's responsible. I mean, what more do you need to know?
That's a bit of an overstatement, but thank you.
But what's it like to again, like Sean, you're a Wisconsin kid, you idolize, you grew up watching this team, and after everything you've done at CBS, after all your many awards, a network that was number one for, 20-plus years, but then to take all that and bring it back to something that started with your childhood.
This has been a really unique and rewarding experience because at the network, you're not the producer. You guide projects, you help projects, you eventually greenlight and say, I want to put this on the air, but it's not, it's not your baby.
Mm.
And I feel like in this case, this is something we created together and, have sweated through these interviews and airports and the editing process and the real race to finish this,
mm-hmm.
Because the nice people at Marcus were kind enough to put us in and then said, oh, can you have it done in a month, which I think killed our post-production team, but they got it done. But this is I know when my name comes up produced by at the end, I'm gonna have some. I'm going to have an emotional moment.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, this whole project, or at least a goodly part of it, started over a golf game.
Yeah. So in, 82, and a little before that, Gorman Thomas, the center fielder, was my hero. I, for whatever reason, identified with, related to, up to the plate, take the big swing, strike out or hit a home run, crash into the wall. Have a few beers, smoke a cigarette. That I just long hair. I was like, how do you not love this guy?
Yeah.
And so I had a chance, years later to play golf. There he is. And I had a chance to play golf with him. And I was super nervous. It turns out he was nervous because he heard he was playing golf with some big CBS guy. And his favorite show in the world was NCIS. So,
really?
So yeah. All I wanted to hear was Brewer stories, and all he wanted to talk about was NCIS. But we found common ground. Yeah. We hit it off right away. Yeah. And, you know, Gorman has a drinking story basically for every hole.
Yeah.
And this went on for a few years. And eventually I was just like, I sat down with Sean over a couple beers, and I said, I think there's something here. There's something interesting. There's a story that maybe hasn't really fully been told yet.
We're talking with Kelly Call, the producer of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who is one of the producers, and, of course, Sean Hannish, who is one of the producers and director of this fine film. Jeff Perry?
How was it? Was it difficult to keep your composure when you're talking to these guys? So I'm thinking, if this were me and I'm interviewing Robin Yount or Gorman Thomas, I'm going to be completely starstruck. Did any of that happen? I mean, was that a thing?
I mean, Robin was the first interview, and so he invited us into his house to do the interview, and he didn't know us from Adam.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I first saw Robin standing at his door, I honestly had stage fright.
Yeah. I believe it.
I was like, that's Robin Yount. Right. We're walking to Robin Yount's house. Mm-hmm. And this happened over and over again. Raleigh invited us into his house. And so, again, you're like, I'm sitting with Raleigh Fingers, mm-hmm. Hall of Famer, one of our idols, you know? And the crazy thing about that was he made us all lunch. He made us his family recipes chili.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So then we're sitting there afterward. We're like, can you imagine, you know, 14-year-old Sean and 15-year-old Kelly right. going, okay, 40, you know, 2 years from now, we're going to be in Raleigh's kitchen having chili, you know? And it was mind-blowing.
But it was like that over and over again, you know, and it's, you know, the first couple of minutes, you're like, this is kind of an out-of-body experience. But then you just start the conversation.
Yeah.
And they're all such cool dudes. I mean, they're so down to earth. They give each other, they razz each other all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you see why there was this chemistry. I mean, we were at dinner with them last night. I mean, they're still razzing each other today.
Right,
I mean, they love seeing each other. They love spending time together.
They slipped right back into it within, you know, 2 minutes of sitting down.
Yeah.
I was sitting next to Vukovic and Gorman, who were famously tight and owned a bar together and hadn't seen each other in quite a while. And they were giving each other words I can't say here. within 10 seconds, they were on each other's backs, and it was great.
And I understand from Mark Cass, or is it Cass or Cass? I apologize.
Cass.
One of the people helping the producer for a marketing of the film, that there's not a lot of narration, like some documentaries. This is just conversations, which I think is so much more powerful.
When we sat down and talked about, okay, what does this really look like? What does this film look like? I remember, Kelly, you said, it'd be really great if they could tell the story in their own words.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it.
Wow.
There's no narrator. There's no, disembodied voice telling you how to feel, telling you what to think, or filling in any of the gaps. It's done entirely by the players and the archival footage.
That's incredible. One of the cool things, I think I'm so excited for the film, is, and this film will live on forever, is that it connects, right? I mean, we're all of a certain age around this table. I mean, Jeff and I were in middle school at Richland Center. This is my 82, actually, my hat from 82 that I had in middle school that my mom, thank God, she threw out my Star Wars, or she threw out my Star Trek toys, but she did not throw out the Brewers cap. God love her. But Jeff, show these guys a couple of things. This is some of the stuff that Jeff has from your personal collection, right?
So I was at five games in 82. And the game five of the ALCS, and I still have my scorecard where
wow.
I kept score for the game.
Oh,
amazing. We need to get
AL
a signature.
Champs.
We need to get a signature on that later.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Right. And my World Series program I
awesome.
Have. Oh,
well. Amazing.
And just countless other memorabilia. But I was lucky enough to have my dad be the station manager of a radio station that was on the Brewers radio network. And we got to go down to County Stadium for media day and go down on the field. My brother Greg and I, on the field, I got to get autographs from Robin Yount, from Gorman Thomas, from Paul Molitor, Larry Heisel. And you know, I was, what, 12 years old, and that was the most incredible sports-related experience of my life. Talk about peaking early at 12. But those players in that team and that era, was there's just something that's just unquestionably magical. The whole state just gelled together as one and came together and cheered on this team, and they lost in Game 7 of the World Series, and they had a victory party that was bigger than the one in St. Louis. Yeah. And Robin Yount rode his motorcycle around the warning track. It was unbelievable.
Don't give the whole movie away.
But look at the passion all these years later, and now to connect this with young people that might say, wait, the Brewers win a World Series?
I think the interesting thing is this connection, and people are like, why 40 years later, why are we still talking? The community and the team were intertwined in a way that I don't think you can have now. You could, these guys were accessible. You could go out to a bar or restaurant and see them after a game.
Yes.
Teams can't do that now. You know, you can't roll 10 deep into a bar on the road in, you know, St. Louis or what have you, because people will be up there with their cameras. So these guys were in the community. They'd see them walking through the parking lot to go in. You know, they did not have a special parking lot. They had to walk through the fans to get into and out of the game.
Yeah, and they go and stop and have a beer afterwards with the tailgaters. And they'd, you know, be given a brat. You know, it was such a special time. And I really love, you know, being able to bring this to the younger fan, because, you know, it's really a story that you can share with your kids or your grandkids and tell them, you know, we were there. This was our team, you know, and you get to feel this too. One of the interesting things about when we're talking to, you know, two people who were born after 82, some of them will say, you know, I didn't know that the Brewers didn't win the World Series until I was 11 because they're so celebrated.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the magical part, I think, of this whole story is that, you know, you had a city that was, you know, kind of down on its luck, some factory closings and whatnot. And then this team of characters, this amazing excitement comes. And then when they lose that Game 7, the next morning, none of them wanted to show up for a parade.
Yeah.
You know? And the town lifted them up. And they'll never forget it.
Wow.
It's a great story of hope and perseverance. Come on back. It's a story of a city coming together, a community, a state. It's just a bit outside. World premiere here in Waukesha at the Marcus Theater. Come on back. More on the other side, including the trailer. Get you pumped up for this movie on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back to the Marcus Theater in beautiful Waukesha, Wisconsin for the world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers World Series run. So excited. Jeff Perry and I played that song quite a bit on 45s on vinyl in 1982, back in the day in WRCO Richland Center. We are pleased to have at the table one of the producers, Kelly Call, originally from Burlington, Wisconsin. Also, Sean Hanisch, a producer and director from a beautiful Brookfield, Wisconsin. And now joining us at the table in place of Jeff Perry, who will be coming back in just a bit, Paul Jaconi Berry. Paul, thanks for joining us. You're another producer on the film.
I am.
Are you from Wisconsin as well?
I'm not. But they don't hold that against me.
Well,
yeah,
that's good.
I'm a California boy.
Oh, nice.
But again, they've been very sweet. And the thing about this experience working on this film with Kelly and Sean, as someone coming from the outside, I was always looking for what are the themes, what are the through lines of the story, and what struck me from the very, very beginning, and something that Sean has beautifully captured in the film, is this love story between the city of Milwaukee and this incredibly unique team, unlike any I've seen in any sport. And it was really important to us that this story always be about, you know, we're always checking in with that story. It's a love story. It is really, you know, the people that you love and the people that love you are there when you need them, right? And so through all the ups and downs, both for the city of Milwaukee itself and for the team, they're there for each other. And so, you know, I didn't know the 82 Milwaukee Brewers coming into this project. But I fell in love with them. I really did. And I fell in love with the city of Milwaukee. I had never been to Milwaukee before we started this project. And I think it was great that we had someone like me who came into this fresh, because I think anyone who sees this movie, even if you don't like baseball, even if you've never been to Milwaukee, you are going to connect with these characters. You're going to connect with this city. You're going to connect with these struggles that people went through during that time, and how there are these things in life, and sport is one of them, that brings us together, that gives us something to hope for and to push for. So it was, you know, it's just been an amazing experience.
I think you nailed it, because there are people obviously listen to this show, watch this show, that say, well, I'm not a sports person. Should I watch this movie? Come see it. You just said why. I mean, it's a love story.
100%.
Mr. Zomer is back in the studio if we have time. Let's play this trailer, and because last time we played it, I got goosebumpy, but we're going to do it for you anyway, Mr. Zomer. Here is a little preview of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Milwaukee Brewers that premieres right here in Waukesha tonight.
Everybody loves their hometown team, but there is something different in Milwaukee.
Don Sutton said it best. He said every player should have the privilege of playing in Milwaukee.
81, 82, there was a recession going on. We knew that the people were hurting. We were trying to give them something that they could hang on to.
And, well, here we go, off and running.
That 82 season, it was chaotic.
It's a blue-collar town, and we were a blue-collar ball club.
Every single guy had his own way of being different.
Everybody thought that we were this band of crazy guys.
My goal in Milwaukee was to drink in every bar before my career was over.
Party all night, and then go out and bash them to death.
Harvey's wall bangers are banging it all over the place.
We all clicked.
There was just an incredible energy in the city.
The fans were fired up. It was really fun.
Go, Brewers, go.
There's nothing better than a whole city cheering for you.
They're gonna do it.
I sure do love to play baseball for the people of Milwaukee.
Let's go.
I'm gonna cry.
Go on, Robin!
The town was painted blue and gold anywhere you went.
It's something people can relate to. It lifts their spirit.
Carly Moore is such a fox.
As a team, as a city, we were so ready.
This is what we've all wanted and dreamed about. We made it. We're in the World Series.
This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I wish it was 82 again.
Just a bit outside the story, the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers world premiering tonight here in Waukesha at the Marcus Theater. Guys, there are no words.
Goosebumps?
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
I do too.
You're right, Paul. It's a love story, and I'm so glad to hear someone that's not from Wisconsin say that, because I'm a homer. But guys, I mean, I'm just excited.
We're gonna let Paul do all the press from now on, by the way, because he knocked it out of the park there. Yeah.
So what do you want? I'm going to go around the table. We got about 2 minutes left here, 2.5. What do each of you hope that viewers tonight and in the future take out of this movie? Kelly?
The camaraderie and closeness of the team. We talk a little bit in the movie about it. One for all for one. Tight-knit group in a way that I don't think you see today in the same way.
Sean?
The goal was to have people today, people that were there, people that weren't there, people that weren't born yet, feel the way we felt sitting in those stands watching that team.
Yeah. Paul?
I think, you know, the sense that even if your ultimate dream does not come true, it's the journey, and it's the people that you meet and the people that love you and the people that you love.
I just want to see it right now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait, because I'm just so pumped for this. And honestly, I'm biased, because I'm happy for all of you, and particularly you, Kelly and Sean, as Wisconsin guys, because I am dyed in the wool of Wisconsin, dude. I can't help it. I you know, to see our teams go out to California, our Badger teams, and play in Rose Bowls, to see Packers go to Super Bowls, in a time that's so divisive in our country and in our state, these are the things that bring us together. And we hear it from our viewers and our listeners all the time. This is what they want to talk about. So thank you.
I think if you go in the theater, it doesn't matter. You're blue, you're red, you're going to be blue and gold when you go in the theater.
100%. It's part of, we do this tour. We're doing another one in late October called What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours. And the Brewers are one of those things that makes Wisconsin great. And Kelly and Sean and Paul, filmmakers like you who bring us, the public, these stories. I've said this 100 times. I love anything that's well written, anything, whether it's a script, whether it's a book, whether it's a song. I love good writing, and I can't wait to hear these stories, the storytelling tonight. So congratulations, guys.
Thanks so much, Todd.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Kelly Call, Sean Hannish, and Paul, Jacody Berry, thank you so very much. I really, really appreciate you guys being here.
Todd, thank you, Todd.
Absolute pleasure.
Our pleasure as well. More actual Milwaukee Brewer players in hour number two. Jay Matinier and Jeff Pear. We are live on location in Milwaukee. Sean, the Civic Media, Radio Network.
Just a bit outside.
Thanks.